Time to dig a little bit deeper into this whole Michael Flynn story and everything else that's going on. Welcome back to the No Panic Zone here. It's the Steve Gribber Show on a Friday. Good to have you along here. Appreciate your support wherever you may be. My next guest, Ray McGovern, retired CIA officer, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
Good to have you here. I was just starting out with my previous guest, Dr. Lauren Wright here. The whole case against Michael Flynn, a lot of it seems awfully suspect at this point. She argues that Flynn did plead guilty and should pay the price for that. Others obviously think that Flynn was set up, and it looks like it, from August of 2016 through early January of 17, no derogatory information, and then the 302s are nowhere to be found, and Peter Strzok pushes the investigation. We end up with him pleading guilty. But we also have the understanding that he was trying to protect his own son. Where do you want to begin here?
Well, on the business about protecting his own son, that's a matter of record. He was told by the FBI folks that they'd put his son in jail if he didn't plead guilty. And it's very, 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 very clear. The thing was set up. And if you look at the conversation that was advertised as being the culprit here, he doesn't lie. You look at what the 302 segments that they do have say, and both interviewers came away with the strong impression that not only did he not lie, but he there was no evidence at all of any discomfort. So, in my view, he was set up. In my view, the public record shows that, and it's really hard for people to back down after saying he lied, he lied, he lied. But yeah, he lied. And maybe you, Steve, would do the same thing to protect your son from going to jail.
Oh, I might. I might lie. I might also plead guilty to something I didn't do to protect a family member if it was somebody close.
Yeah.
I might do that as well. Does it seem awfully coincidental to you that on the 12th of January, 2017, the day that Joe Biden asked for Michael Flynn to be unmasked and he got the name, potentially, that is the same day that Jeff Bezos' personal paper, The Washington Post, got that information and published it? That is a 10-year felony. That is not up for debate. That's a felony, no question about it. Do you believe that Biden could have been the person to let that happen?
No. Joe Biden wouldn't do a thing like that. It would have to be his chief of staff or his wife. I mean, hello. These coincidences are not coincidences. And when you look at that list of people that asked for Flynn to be, to have his name appear there, unmasked is the word they use, the word of intelligence jargon, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. Six people from the Department of Treasury,
right,
the political advisor to NATO. What's going on here? What was it?
I've got some other important questions here because, Clapper lied about spying on Americans, right? We know that.
Yeah.
And then just yesterday, we've got this, Ray McGovern here, retired CIA officer, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. That's VIPs. You got that. Marie Yovanovitch, the one that said she knew nothing about Burisma during a congressional testimony when she was like the star witness for impeachment. But now we know that she had meetings with Burisma officials. She had conversations with Burisma officials. She had conversations that actually touched on Hunter Biden during those conversations, according to what we have learned in the last few hours. What do you make of that?
Well, again, you have documentary evidence now. It saddens me greatly to see a top diplomat like that lie under oath. But the record shows that she did. Now, diplomats traditionally are trained to lie, but it's usually to lie to other countries and other diplomats. Okay, it boggles the mind that this so sincere-looking person could have been lying through her teeth. And I guess I haven't seen the documents yet, but they exist and show that she was lying through her teeth when she talked about that the Hunter Biden firm named Burisma, where he had
right.
this cushy job.
Well, one of the contacts, according to the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Eastern Europe at the time, George Kent, who also testified, you're familiar with him, Kent wrote to Yovanovitch in the briefing, quote, was further to the Blue Star effort to rehabilitate the reputation of their non-client in the U.S. former Ministry of Ecology, Zakleski, who clearly has retained the services of a blue-chip law firm and his energy company, Burisma, which in turn has Hunter Biden on its board. This was written to Yovanovitch. Yovanovitch had meetings and conversations now, we have just learned, in late 2016, and she said she didn't know much about Burisma. Wasn't much going on. Wasn't really her concern. So do you think when we look at this, Ray, the concern that most of us have is that nobody will ever be held to account, ever. What do you think?
Well, that remains to be seen. There's a lot more than the Burisma thing. What's afoot now is a U.S. attorney in Connecticut, whom the Attorney General of the United States has given the task of finding out all about who started this Russia thing. And the bombshell that has appeared of just over the last week is the fact that not only is there no proof of Russia-Trump campaign collusion, but also, now get this, and I hope your listeners are willing to listen to it, there is also no proof that the Russians hacked into the DNC emails and gave them to WikiLeaks, a firm that was supposed to have the evidence of that admitted on the 5th of December, 2017, in testimony that has been suppressed so far. Sean Henry, the head of CrowdStrike, said there was no concrete evidence that those emails were ever hacked or exfiltrated from the DNC computers. Now, that's a lot to swallow.
That is a lot to swallow, Ray, and a lot to consider. And what we need to do is consider having you back very soon because we're just getting started, and I'm up against the clock already. I can't believe it. So much to cover, so much intrigue, if you will.
Happy to do it, Steve. It's pretty clear now. We have documentary evidence, sworn testimony, just released by Adam Schiff, the head of that committee.
We got to get there, Ray. No question. You're in the no panic zone. Ray McGovern here, former CIA officer. We'll have him back very soon to complete more of this and dig deeper.
An important message from Jerry Norcia, president and CEO of DTE Energy.
The coronavirus pandemic is challenging all of us, but it's especially important to support our neighbors in need. While our dedicated DTE employees work tirelessly to ensure reliable energy, the DTE Foundation is working with community partners across Michigan. We're providing more than 100,000 families with critical support services, including more than 1 million meals. Together, we'll power through this.
DTE. Jerry Norcia, president and CEO of DTE Energy.
We at DTE care deeply about all the communities where we live and serve. Our top priority during this crisis is the health and safety of our employees and customers. So our crews are focusing only on work that's critical to ensure reliable energy and quick response to emergencies. If you experience challenges due to medical conditions or loss of income, contact us. We want every one of our customers to have energy to stay safe and warm.
DTE.